Thank you. First, I would to thank the organizers for inviting me. I shall present you symmetry measures. What is the difference between symmetry and symmetry measures? There is or there is not symmetry. Symmetry measure means, do we deviate much from symmetry? People began to work on this topic at the end of the 19th century. Many methods were developed from several fields, chemistry, physics, computer sciences, statistics, and so on. The problem is that most of these methods apply in a very specific context. It is hard to have a general theory of that and to have a measure which applies in many contexts. So, to define a symmetry measure, we first have to exhibit a definition of symmetry. Of course, you all know what is symmetry. It is a bit funny if you look to a definition of symmetry which works both for the geometric case, for matrices, for functions, for distributions, for graphs and so on, it is hard to find that in the literature. So I have produced one, but probably it was published somewhere, no problem. So here is a definition of symmetry. Note that the group structure, which is imposed a priori, is not needed to impose it a priori. It can be deduced, but it is a detail. So, this is a very basic. Now, symmetry measure. We need to define a distance between objects. An object will be symmetric if and only if it exists a transformation, not the trivial one, of course, such that the distance between the object and its transformed image is null, obvious. So, to define a symmetry measure, the idea is to say, we need to find the lower bound of the distance of the image and the object for all transformations except the identity one. Of course, when the object is symmetric, we get that this quantity is null. We call that a symmetry measure. We will see that this definition sometimes gives rise to many problems. But the idea is, when this quantity is small, we are close to symmetry. But now, what means small? We have to compare to something. Other problem. When the symmetry measure is small, we would like to demonstrate that the object is symmetric indeed. In general, we cannot do that. But in a number of cases, we can. For example, when the set of transformations is finite. So, first attempt to define a symmetry measure. We have endpoints in the d-dimensional Euclidean space. We assume for clarity that this space set is centered. The center of mass is at the origin, no problem. These are the notations. This is, in fact, the covariance matrix, which I call the inertia matrix. The difference between the inertia matrix and the covariance matrix is just the factor n. So, in fact, it is the same thing. We need that the inertia, here, is not null, of course. and we define the direct symmetry index as shown here, DSI. You can recognize that the trace of x minus y transpose multiplied by x minus y divided by n, it is a known distance. I think it's originated from the Fromm-Rudnius norm. And y is a permutation of x minus a translation. All permutations are allowed, but we now face to another problem. The vertices can be labeled. We will examine this problem later. Now, no color on the vertices. This index takes value in the interval 0, 1. It is insensitive to scaling, good. It is insensitive to mirror inversion. And when the set is symmetric, the index is null. And if we add this assumption that no two points are located at the same spatial position, so yes, we have the reciprocity. If we relax this condition, we have not the reciprocity. The problem is that when the number of points will increase, we can have points closer and closer. So this index is not very safe. It is not a general definition. And if we would like to extend that to continuous distributions, it will totally fail. Now, we will try the same attempt to define a symmetry index, but for indirect symmetry, chirality. So chirality has been defined by Lord Kelvin. This is a rather intuitive definition, of course. It has been extended by several mathematicians. They said, well, we need that the space should be orientable to define chirality. In fact, this constraint can be relaxed. We do not need any orientability of the space to define chirality. But this is another topic. We don't care today. And so we define the chiral index still for a finite set of points. Here are the properties of the chiral index. On the major one is that when the index is null, we can say that the set is achiral. No more need to have distinct points. We have all properties. The index is insensitive to scaling, insensitive to isometries, and so on and so on. So, now we will try to extend this approach to continuous distributions. Things, and when you put two points at the same place, two points have the same coordinates, what does it mean? You put a weight on the point. This weight can be integer, but it can be anything you like. So in fact, the good model to treat that is to consider distributions. Then, discrete distributions, and further, any kind of distribution. Now I come back to the problem of labels. Here are two cubes. If I see only the vertices, only the geometry, all these two cubes are perfectly symmetry, many elements of symmetry, okay. But if I label the vertices with colors, the things are different. The cube A have not symmetry at all. This should be introduced in our model. However, the cube B exhibit C2 rotation axis. It's symmetric, but both these tubes are chiral, indirect symmetry. We do need a mechanism to say what means color the point. So, to present that, I will do it outside the context of symmetry. Generally, how to label vertices, it can be done in a general situation. So, we will use the Wasserstein metric. The Wasserstein metric is a distance between probability laws, which was introduced in the 17th, and which has received many applications, particularly in the transportation problem. So it is well known. Here is the expression of the Wasserstein distance in the L2 case. There are other there are generalizations. So it is the infinum on all joint distribution for the random vector x and the random vector y of the expectation of this product here. When the two probability laws correspond to discrete and finite distributions with n equiprobable values, in other words, you can think to a sample, we get this expression. We recognize a standard linear program. The set of the joint distributions is convex, closed, and bounded, and the lower bound is rich for one or several joint distributions expressed as P divided by N, where P is a permutation matrix. For a fixed permutation, each point is bijectively associated to a point in the other set. This is the correspondence we need to exhibit. And so, we can express our distance between the two probability laws as long as there are no colors, there are factorial n possible permutations, and we calculate the sum of the n squared distance between the pair of points, and we look for the correspondence, in fact the permutation, which minimizes this sum. So, this is known since long in other fields under two names. Descriptive statisticians use this method. It is known as the Procrust method. For the Procrust method, under three correspondences, all correspondences are possible. It is known also in chemistry and bioinformatics as the RMS method, root mean square method. We have two groups of points. We calculate the square of the distance of all the n pairs. We have to minimize this sum. It is well known. Okay. So, both the Procrust and the RMS method are just instances of the Wasserstein distance. And in fact, it is a Procrust distance, and for the RMS, nobody writes that the RMS, in fact, is in a distance, but it is exactly the same. Okay, for a fixed correspondence, it appeared in most fields of literature. It was discovered and rediscovered and rediscovered. It is well known. Now, how to fix the correspondence in the discrete case and then for continuous distribution? Does anybody heard about mixture of distributions? For example, you have populations of animals, males and females. Say we measure the weights. We have a normal low for the males with some mean and another normal low for the females with another mean. Then we consider the full distribution. So it is a mixture of two distributions. This is very usual. This can be presented a different way. Two space, the d-dimensional Euclidean space and the space of color. The idea is, in the space of color, we have some distribution of probability. We get a color. Once we get a color, we get a distribution in the Euclidean space. That is the main idea. It is just a more complicated presentation of a mixture of distributions. Now, I consider two such distributions. So, nothing new until here. We have just the product of the joint distribution between these color mixtures, which has a color mixture, two components. A component is a space of color and an Euclidean component. No difficulty. And here is the main assumption to understand the model. The marginal random variables in the space of colors from the first color mixture is almost surely equal to the marginal in the space of colors for the other color mixtures. What does it mean? When I pick a color for the first the first distribution, I pick the same color for the other one. This is the method to link. A consequence of that, in the Euclidean space part, the two random variables, the marginal, I mean in the Euclidean space, cannot be independent in general. So, we extend the Wasserstein distance to this kind of probability law, this kind of random variable, which I recall you as two parts, the Euclidean part and the part in the space of color. So, we need that this set must not be empty. Fortunately, it is true. So we can compute an infimum, and we have now the mechanism which permits to put colors everywhere and to link the points. When there is only one color in the space of color, we retrieve the ordinary case, no color at all. Well, this is an example. I do not detail the calculation. Two Bernoulli laws. Same distribution, but two colors in the space of colors. For the Bernoulli law, probability of zero is 0.5, and probability of one is 0.5. This is the simplest situation. But we put, for example, the color green on the zero and the color red on the one, for example. Same for the other Bernoulli law. I skip the calculation. Conclusion. The two Bernoulli laws in the Euclidean space are no more independent. They are fully correlated. Only one possible joint distribution. This is the simplest example I have found to illustrate my purpose. So, in general, when we have only one color, we retrieve the ordinary Wasserstand distance. A way to see what it corresponds. Physicists often consider indiscernible particles. This is what I mean by no color, or all the colors are the same. You cannot have a distinction. And conversely, when each point receives its own color, it's something like model with discernible particles. It may help to see the mechanism. Okay, so we can set a bijection between the two set of points. They are pairwise associated. The cardinality may be what you like. No problem. In the case of samples, only one joint distribution, so only one permutation matrix, and we rediscover the Procrust method and the RMS method with fixed correspondence. So the Procrust distance is just an instance of the color Wasserstand distance. For two color samples of size n, we can have subset of points having the same colors. So we just have a partition on the number of permutations, is of course this one. Okay, now we have a mechanism to associate points of the same color between two sets. Now we will return back to our symmetry problem. So the chiral index in its more general form is the normalized colored Wasserstand distance. We have to take the infinum or on all joint distributions, but also for all rotations and translation. For example, you have two mirror images to know if they are identical or not. You take the image and you try to superpose it of the initial object to see if it is the same. That's why we need to minimize for all rotation and translation. So this index, which generalizes the one in the discrete case, are all desired properties. Insensitivity to isometries and scaling. The reciprocity is ensured. When the index is null, we can say that the set or the distribution is achiral. And another property, so this index is between 0 and 1, and when it takes the value 1, it implies that the covariance matrix, or the inertia matrix, as you like, is proportional to the identity matrix. I think that all regular polytops should satisfy to this constraint. It is true for the Platonic solids, but I think it's much more general. It was told me that there is a theorem for that. The optimal translation is obvious to compute. Just set the two means to zero, no problem. The optimal rotation is known for the two-dimensional and the three-dimensional case. The unidimensional, you have no rotation at all, of course. This optimal joint distribution exists. It is known in the unidimensional case, and it is the solution of the Monge-Kantorovich transportation problem for a quadratic cost. So you can find it in the many books which were written on the topic. For the discernible particles model, The chiral index is proportional to the square to the smallest eigenvalue sigma d squared of the variance matrix. And when the index, the chiral index is 1, its maximal value, it implies that the variance matrix is proportional to the identity. This is, for example, the case of the cube for which the 8 vertices have 8 different colors. It is an example of set which reaches the maximal chirality in the sense of this index, of course. So, as I said you, many people develop theories develop their own chiral index, symmetry index, and so on and so on. I said to them, well, if the theory works, it should work in the simplest case you can imagine. So I imagine that the simplest possible case have 3 points of the real line. You have only one parameter, the ratio of the length. And so the chiral index take this expression, but I say that these properties must be satisfied. The chiral index must depend only of the ratio of the length. It should be null if and only if the set is symmetric, which should say achiral because we are in the unidimensional case. It should be a continuous function on the from the scaling invariance key the ratio of the length is the same as key of the inverse of the ratio of the length. Until now, I didn't find any a chiral index is a literature which satisfied to this for properties. Okay, so a few examples. Do not consider the interior of the triangles, just 3 tuple of points. We can calculate extremal figures, so they are here. Same thing for the direct symmetry index. So here are some extremal dissymmetric three tuples. Both these 5 triangles have a common geometric properties, which is expressed here. I skip because I think I am a bit late. The theory can be extended to graphs. We have points in the space, but these points can be linked with edges. So we have a graph which is realized in, for example, the three-dimensional space. So the theory still works, and the permutations are just, in fact, the automorphism of the graph, permitted by the color on the nodes, the color of the edges, maybe weights on the nodes, weights on the edges, directed edges, what you like. No problem, we just count the number of automorphisms and we perform the minimization. This is used, in fact, as a model for molecules, because a molecule, for example, the water molecule has 3 nodes and 2 edges, so it is a general model. We have a theorem. We would like that similar objects imply closed chiral index. Okay. We have that. Particularly interesting is the case when there is no color. The consequence is that the chiral index of the sample converges to the chiral index of the parent population. So we have an estimator of the chiral index of the, we can define an estimator of the chiral index of the parent population. Okay, statisticians during years I've tried to find asymmetric coefficients, but we have an asymmetric coefficient. The oldest one is probably the skewness of Karl Pearson, but when the skewness is null, it doesn't imply that the distribution is symmetric. But for the chiral index, if the chiral index is null, it implies that the distribution is symmetric. Furthermore, we do not need the existence of the third order moment. Only the two order moments suffice. Here are two other expressions. If you look closer, you have a series of embedded segments. If all the midpoints coincide, then the set is symmetric. It is obvious. Okay? Open problem. Build symmetry test for some class of parent distribution because we want to have an expression so that we can find that on usual tables. Of course, the theoretical expression is not general. So, other problem. What are the maximal chirality distributions in the case when there is no color? When there is color, we know all points are colored with different colors. But when there is no color at all, what are the most chiral distributions? We have the reply in the unidimensional case. In this case, the chiral index is 1 plus the infinum of the correlation coefficient of the correlation coefficient taken for all zone distribution. It cannot exceed 0.5, and it is reached asymptotically for a Bernoulli law such that the probability of 0 tend to 0, for example. In two dimensions, we have got an interval. We know that the chiral index, the upper bound of the chiral index is between 1 minus 1 divided by p and 1 minus 1 divided by 2p. We have a set which is a big O-quad. I have no time to develop it. We conjecture that this bound is optimal. Very quickly. Start with a regular polygon. Origin at the center of mass. The product, all mass are equal. The product of the mass by the square distance to the center is constant for all the vertices. Now, change the mass. Increase it, decrease the distance, but conserve the product. This is the first parameter. You have to decrease that. Then you increase the number of points. You have two parameters. When these two parameters tend to infinite, you have a sort of spiral which collapses very quickly on the center and it defines the maximal chirality set that we conjecture to be really the maximal one. Note the very simple expressions of your chiral index of which we are looking to the upper bound. Here, no bar on the Z. If not, it would be trivial. But these two maximum are not easy to compute. Exhibiting the optimal distribution is not so easy. Somebody has any idea, he is welcome to tell me. Solution for D equal 3 and above. So this is we have to use quaternion to find the optimal rotation. It is easier. Do not use rotation matrix in optimization problems. It's too complicated. So the rotation is null. In higher dimension, we do not know what is the optimal rotation. If somebody has an idea, he is welcome to tell me. Some other open problems. Is this condition necessary to have maximal chirality distribution, asymptotically or not. Variance matrix proportional to identity. Can the upper bound of the chiral index be reached or not? Having a chiral distribution, can we define its associated closest a chiral distribution? We need here to find the definition before computing anything. And for translational symmetry, the model fails if we consider random vectors. I think that maybe a track for that should be to consider random functions, process, and so on. Well, so and this is a bibliography. I hope to be not too late. Sorry?
Like how fast
would they be to compute?
Yeah.
Actually, there is a software which is named QCM, which works on molecular graphs. So, you have a three-dimensional set plus a graph. You read that, you compute all graph automorphisms. This is the lengthy part of the algorithm, of course, and you perform the minimization problem, knowing that the optimal translation is known and the optimal rotation is known. So there is no difficulty. In the general situation, or if you have too much automorphism, for example, you have 20 points, all factorial 20 permutations are authorized, you will not solve that. There is too much calculation to do. So there is a problem to compute that in some situation. But for molecules, most time it suffices because you remove hydrogen, which have no much importance, and the number of automorphisms is not so high for most molecules. It works very well. If your data does not come from chemistry, you convert it in a chemical format file, which is described in the literature, and you can use the software.